Are you tired of constantly, and I do mean constantly, putting out fires and dealing with project problems that seem to just won't go away? Well, if you're ready to take your project management skills to the next level and finally, and I do mean finally, get to the root of these pesky project issues, then you need to watch today's episode. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name of ED for all you smart and intelligent folks out there. Listen, that just simply means, Ed, I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my job is to unpack today's title, which is entitled Undercover Boss, Getting to the Root of the Problem, the Project Management Edition. I'm sorry for the extras. But again, getting to the root of the problem. You know, family, the reason how I came, why I came up with this particular topic today, which we're just gonna talk here real quick, is the fact of one of my favorite shows that I used to watch all the time, like constantly, was this show called Undercover Boss. And the reason why I love this show, Undercover Boss, is because it what happened is like the CEO would go undercover as an employee, and he would go to various like one of my favorite, well, I won't talk about the favorite one because it may cause some controversy, but again, he would just check out the site locations of where his business was, where the business was at. And as he's in there, he had a real true opportunity to understand what was going on. You know, let me park there real quick parenthetically. I thought about that because how many times have you not been able to find out what the root is? What is the actual truth? Not what people are sending up your way, you know, especially for my leaders out there that are in executive positions, or even, I mean, even directors, I'll even say directors and above. How many times have you not received the real true information and you didn't find it out until one of your best employees left the organization, and then you're shocked. You're like, well, why you didn't let me know sooner? But that's what that undercover boss did for me, where I was able to really truly see that how information and the lack of communication up and down the chain sometimes can fall short. And that may have to do with a lot of about the environment. So when we look at this family, when we look at today's episode, I hope that it can really resonate with you with regards to how do I get to the root of the problem, not what the team is telling me, but what are they not telling me? I like that. Let me tell you why I like that. I like that in so many different ways, because a lot of times people will tell you something just to pet, I mean, just to pacify you, just to make you feel comfortable, but that is really not the truth. That is really not what is going on. And as a project manager, you have to get really exceptional with this. You have to get great. You have to dig to the root of the problem. So with all of that monologue, let's get into the first point. Point number one, investigate the project environment and culture. Listen, I hate to say it. I know people are gonna not like me for what I'm about to say here. I've gotten a couple nasty grams anyway. So hey, we might as well keep them coming because my job here is to disrupt. My job is here for people out in this field that are in project management or thinking about getting in project management, that we give them the pathway there, family, by you guys leaving comments and asking really, I've had some really amazing questions too, by the way. But all right, let me go. Investigate the project environment and culture. Listen, you need to examine the broader project environment. This is including organizational cultures, policies, external factors that may be contributing to the problem. See, a lot of times we don't talk about these things. We think it's because of a process, or we think it's because of it's Johnny over here. He's just the one that, no. There could be a plethora of things that are contributing to this particular issue that we're having. And so what you want to be able to do is evaluate the team's culture, their values, and behavior to determine if this is culturally related. And when I say culturally, I am speaking about the culture that the team or the resources or the people created. So there's been cultures that I've been in that has been very toxic. And the people created that culture because they created the culture because of fear. The fear that was maybe created from, you know, their leadership. Who knows? But I've worked in cultures where it's been, I mean, it's been so amazing. You're like, you're waiting for the problem to show up. Because, you know, you're anticipating that aspect of things. So again, evaluate your project team's culture. And again, remember this key thing. And my mentor said taught me that. And that's why I want to make sure he gets the credit, which is, again, having the ability to understand what people are not telling you, not what they're telling you, but what they're not actually telling you. Let's move on to point number two. Point number two, define the problem. Listen, clearly identify, then articulate the problem you want to investigate by actually taking the time to work with your team. Hey, what is really going on? And you remember what I said, don't get so caught up in what they're telling you, like, yeah, everything is great. This has been, I'm really enjoying myself. This is a great experience. And then you look up and you see one team member gone, one stakeholder gone, the next one. And you're like, you start asking about, like, what happened with Johnny? What happened with Bob? Oh, they left the organization. You're like, why? I mean, they look like, it seemed like everything was going well. And then you get on the phone with Johnny and Bob and you say, hey, man, it's just you and I talking. Could you just tell me exactly why you left? Like, I really have a deep concern. And then they really tell you the truth because they're no longer in the role and they have another situation. And you find out it was something you could have resolved. You could have went to their manager's manager. There was an issue where there was bullying or intimidation or some things like that that was going on that you could address this really fast. So again, when you define the problem, articulate the problem. Here's an actionable step, because I really believe this is one of those that you don't want to miss out on. Gather the data and feedback from various sources, such as project metrics, stakeholder complaints. Listen to what I just said. Project metrics, stakeholder complaints, and team members' concern to pinpoint the specific issue you want to address. We have to be specific. We have to be laser focused on whatever this particular issue is so we can find a resolution to whatever that is. Point number three, identify the symptoms. Ooh, I like that. You know, one thing about the symptoms, you know, when you recognize the visible signs of symptoms of the problem, such as missed deadlines, cost overruns, a very low team morale. Like you can tell the team morale is low is when you get on a call and it's only two people talking and it's a team of 20, as you got 25 people in there, you're like, what is going on? I wish I could remember that quote right now about leadership. And I'll paraphrase, I'm probably misremembering, but hey, this is practice. It talked about how a leader was leading his team and the team stopped asking questions, stopped providing recommendation. And the whole gist of the quote was saying in so many words, why even provide that information? The leader is not going to listen anyway. So if they're not going to listen, hey, I might as well save my energy and focus on, you know, things that I can control. But that's not a good environment. That is a very toxic environment. So anyway, I digress. Let's move on to point number four. Conduct a root cause analysis. You know, we call this a Ishikawa diagram, or what I really love, which I'm starting to fall in love with much more because it really helps you get to the root of it, is the five whys. And the five whys kind of goes like, let's say you say, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. And you say, why? Well, so I can be more healthier. Why? So I can be around, live longer. Why? So basically you keep asking these why type questions five times in a row, because this is going to allow you to, watch this family, to eliminate the surface or what answer sounds good versus to what actually answer what are we really truly trying to achieve? So having the ability to facilitate a root cause analysis session with the project team, using the five whys or the fishbone, which is the Ishikawa diagram, it really explores to the problem and the contributing factors. This is what something we miss. Again, we talked about that at the beginning. What are the contributing factors? Why is this happening? This is an easy problem, because sometimes you can be on the outside looking in and say, well, all they had to do was say something, all they had to do, and then you realize, like, oh, it's not that simple because of the fact that there are gatekeepers in the way that is allowing that information to get into the right hands in order to make a change, to make a difference, because that's going to make them look good. But that's a whole nother conversation. Let's move on to point number five. Point number five, challenge assumptions. You know, I don't know what happened. It just seems like we got away from challenging assumptions. What do you mean by that, Ed? I mean, the ability to question any assumptions or biases that may be influencing the team member's understanding or approach to the problem. Here's a good actionable step. Leverage critical thinking techniques such as playing a good versus bad type approach, meaning if someone is playing the good cop, you're playing the bad cop. If someone is saying, well, this is the way, you want to have the ability to challenge and to, because you challenging it, the particular assumption, is helping that person grow as well as yourself in case you're ever in that particular situation. So again, family, having the ability to challenge existing assumptions and consider alternative perspectives. You know, a lot of times, family, when you're leading these projects and you have that one or two stakeholders that is just so, like, they just have tunnel vision. Like, they will tell you they want to be collaborative. They will tell you they want to work with you. But one thing is a conversation. But when it comes down, as my grandma would say, to the nitty gritty, they're nowhere to be found. Only thing they're there to critique. They're there to give their recommendations, but they're not there to really impact, influence. Oh, that sounds too much like leadership. I apologize, but I digress. Let me get back to the point. The point of it all, the matter of it all, family, is the ability to foster a culture of curiosity and continuous learning. It really encourages team members to have an open mindset, as well as, you know, it makes everybody want to be more receptive to new ideas. Is there a different way that we can approach this? Is it a better way that we can approach it? Like, we should constantly always be challenging ourselves and working to that particular item. All right, let's move on to point number six. Examine resource allocation. You know, a lot of times I always said I would love to have put that in the iron triangle, resources. I've seen over my many years, it seems like the challenge for resources is continually to grow year over year. I think I've seen it where, you know, for resource constraints, you have to budget appropriately. You have to staff appropriately. And sometimes you may have a resource doing two jobs until they can find the right fit, because sometimes you can get in a hurry of wanting to backfill, or you've created a new role and to get someone in there that is not a fit for the team. And that could be a constraint to the team, because now you have somebody you're working with and it's an unbearable environment. And that trickles down throughout the team, family. I don't know if you've ever experienced where there's someone that is brought onto the team and they're just not a good fit. And because they're not a good fit, it disrupts the whole team. The team is less motivated. The team hardly wants to participate. They're like, man, just let's get this over with. And they're not really paying attention to each other. So look for that. All right. Point number seven. I want to talk about evaluate project risk. A lot of times we forget the ability to evaluate project risk. I always say in my project, in my agenda, I like to have risk on there. If I have an agenda, remember I shared with you, I started shifting my meetings more to an outcome-based scenario meeting versus a risk scenario meeting. So instead of having this long agenda this is the outcome, but then I leverage agility, meaning I want to be agile in a way that'll allow me, hey, if there's something more pressing that we can attack that, but I want to walk away from this particular meeting with actual outcomes. Point number eight, I wasn't going to leave you without talking about communication. Say what? Review project communication. Listen, the ability to assess effectively and efficiently the project communication channels. What are communication channels? I'll give you some examples. Teams, email, phone, even letters, and I mean physical print letters. I know we're so much into emails and things of that nature, but understanding that having the ability to conduct a communication audit to evaluate clarity, timelines, and relevance on project communication to stakeholders is key. So you know what I'm going to say, develop a communication plan or develop a communication improvement plan based on the stakeholders' feedback, best practices, and ensure that all team members are trained on effective communication techniques. All right, here's my bonus for you today, family. Conduct benchmarking. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be something. Yeah, but conduct benchmarking. Well, all I'm saying there, family, is the ability to compare project processes, performances, as well as outcomes to similar projects or industry best practice to identify any areas of improvement. Listen, the reason why when problems come up is one of two things. It's either that this was created because... let me step back. When you're solving problems, the ability to have an open mind of solving the problem is which is going to be key, instead of going into it of, hey, this is not going to work, or hey, we spend more time. You hear me talk about that throughout different videos where I've been in organizations where they spent so much time on the problem. By the time they finished doing all of this problem solving, which was basically looking at the problem and finding 30 ways of how they could do it, I had already figured out one or two ways that we could do it. And this is what I always challenge you, family. When there's a problem, always come with a proposed solution. Here are my three closing remarks, family. First one is investigate project environment and culture. Listen, sometimes we forget that the culture of the organization, which includes the policies, the external factors, the internal factors, can really have an impact on the team. You could see a high performer you could watch a high performer go to a low performer and you think it's them based off of, well, they're not doing the work. But no, it has to do with the environment. The environment can really have a big disdain for the actual culture of the environment. Point number two, conduct a root cause analysis. Listen, again, I talked about the Ishikawa diagram, the five whys. I love the five whys. So if anything, go check out the five whys. And the last and final point, examine resource allocation. Remember, like I said, I wish I could put that in the iron triangle because I see so many issues with resources where you may see people doing two and three jobs. And sometimes when you bring staff on, the team can't connect with them and you have that issue. So you have to figure that out. So again, assessing of allocation resources such as budgeting, staffing, or equipment is going to be imperative. It's going to be important that you address that efficiently. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. This has been another episode based around what a unique step is, Undercover Boss. Thank you again. Until next time.